This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 19, 2017, the third Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Is the Lord among us or not? May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Is the Lord among us or not? That question comes up quite frequently for us when the real world rears its ugly head. We live in a sin-cursed and a fallen world that is full of sin-cursed and fallen people. We have a faith that has provided us many promises. And a lot of us live in a day and time when we want someone to prove to us this, that, or the other thing. You have all the proof that you're going to get. That proof was God himself leaving heaven and coming down and dwelling among us, the incarnation. God can do no more to prove his love for you. He can do no more to prove the truth of what he speaks. But for us, those are so many words, because we must be people of faith. The Thomas story, doubting Thomas, he gets to see and he believes, and our Lord looks at him and says, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. More blessed are those who will believe and not see. That's us. We're more blessed than St. Thomas. If we truly believe, there is a way for us to believe. Proof has been given. That proof can be confirmed in our lives. We don't need to see Jesus himself standing at the foot of our bed. He confirms his presence with us. And you know how he does that? Through our sufferings. God doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't want you to, but you're gonna. Okay? That's the bottom line. As I said, you live in a sin-cursed and fallen world. It is corrupt. The people in it are corrupt, and that corruption is going to rear its head in your life. You can be the richest person on the face of this world, live in a mansion, never have problem one your whole life, and guess what? You're gonna get old and die. Just getting old is suffering. Ain't like it used to be. All right? That's an element of suffering. Through sufferings, our faith is confirmed. Here's one of those days. You get extra credit if you've done this already, because I always say, do this. I say, when you get your bulletin, look at your bulletin. And when the reading says this, make sure it's the whole thing. Because the second reading today, you'll notice, if you haven't yet, when you get extra credit, is the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and verses 5 through 8. Wow, what's going on in 3 and 4? Okay? And get to read that one. I pointed out before, you know, sometimes they leave out things that are, what do they call, difficult passages. You're not there yet. It's a very Gnostic view of things. The scriptures are there in their totality for our understanding of God and our salvation. And I pointed out that the most glaring up to this point has been when it was removed from the lectionary. A verse was removed that says, anyone who would remove any verse from this passage shall be accursed. I said, that's a bold person. This one's almost as bad, because Romans chapter 5, the first several verses, they talk about the consequences of our faith in Jesus Christ. which is glorious. It's glorious, our faith in Jesus Christ. But the reading today was very utopian. We have faith in Jesus Christ because He died for us and He gives us hope. That sounds great, and it is, but that's not the whole story. As a matter of fact, the first couple words of the verses that are left out are more than that. Why would you take out the part that says more than that? This is more important than what you just read. This is more important than the hope and the faith. More important than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. That's the formula. That's the reality of our faith. And I mean that in a literal sense. Don't hear what I say and not listen. That makes our faith real. Our faith is just so many words and so many concepts if we buy into this utopian presentation of everything's all great because you have faith in Jesus and that which just makes you hope. How is that confirmed with me? If it's not confirmed with you, you're just like the people in the desert and you'll go, is the Lord really with us or not? Because when bad things start to happen, you go, that doesn't jive with the warm and fuzzy part that I've been told about every Sunday. We're supposed to rejoice in our sufferings, not because of the sufferings themselves. Okay? Not because of the sufferings themselves. It is what they produce in us. This world is sin-cursed and fallen. God does not have to sit up in His throne and go, so-and-so, he gets cancer today. So-and-so, their husband's going to leave them today. So-and-so, their company is going to fold and they're going to lose their job. He doesn't have to do that. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it's how you react to it that confirms your faith. Through patience, character, and then hope. These tribulations, they confirm us. They are not an end unto themselves, because you're not just going to get one or two. They're going to keep going and they're going to keep going. And they're going to change as you get older. I love when people come to me, oh, my teenager this, my teenager that. I can't wait till they're out of the house. It gets worse. The sufferings are not an end in themselves. It's what we do with them, because they confirm us. They confirm that you are elect of God. They confirm that your faith is true. Because if you approach your sufferings with Christian character and a Catholic faith, you will grow closer to Jesus Christ through them. Those who do not persevere through their sufferings, they will be separated from Christ. That's a horrible thing. I've seen it happen time and time again. What's really sad about the whole thing is when bad things happen to people, they'll have a tendency to fold a lot of times. One of the most horrible examples that I can point out, I have known of several occasions when people have lost children. There ain't nothing worse, nothing, than the loss of a child. You would think that would be bad enough, but then after the loss of the child, then the marriage fails. And then all the consequences of that, because they didn't deal patiently with the sufferings that you're going to endure in this world. You can't let these things go on, because you have to apply the formula. Patience in the sufferings, which lead to perseverance, which lead to a holy hope. Not a hope that's a conjecture. Not a hope like, I hope God will do this. It's a hope in embracing His promises and hoping that He is going to do what He's promised, and that His promises will be applied to you, and that you will be strengthened to embrace those promises. That is enduring sufferings. That is why we cannot embrace this utopian nonsense that is foisted upon us as our faith. I will use this word. It is a travesty. That's a gross understatement. It is a travesty that 99.9% of Catholics, probably over that, are not going to hear those two verses that were left out of that Bible passage today. The Holy Spirit wants you to know something, and He says more than what you're listening to, and they left it out. That's a travesty, because the people who don't hear that part, when bad things happen in their life, all of a sudden, they lose faith, because it's not supposed to be that way. I'm a good Catholic. I go to daily Mass. I say rosaries. I do chaplets. I do novenas. Why is this happening to me? Because they've never heard, rejoice in your sufferings. They've never heard that. And like I said, 99.99% of them aren't going to hear it today. Father's not going to bring it up because it's difficult. People don't like to hear about suffering. Tough. Tough. Because you're gonna. That's all there is to it. Why can't we get a grip on that? We're gonna have problems. We are to remain resolute and rise above them. We have to remain faithful. That will result in perseverance, character, and hope. It's obedience to God's will. It is not, like I said, He doesn't have to sit up there and think of bad things. They're just going to happen. We always think about obedience, and we think that that means keeping the rules. I know the commandments. I know what the scriptures say. I know what the church teaches. I don't do what I'm not supposed to do, and I do what I'm supposed to. That's great, and I'm not being pejorative about that. Exactly what you should do. You should be obedient in that way. But even more so, you need to be obedient to God's will for your life. You got to learn that you're not in control of it. Okay? And the sufferings, they come from all different places. There are basically three general categories of these sufferings. And we're all going to deal with them to a lesser or greater extent. The categories range from individual sufferings. And those are the ones we bring on ourselves because we sin and all the consequences that are from our sin. You know, you do this, this is going to happen, this is the result. And it's not just going to affect you, and a lot of times it's going to affect other people. It's going to be badness. But you caused it because you didn't do what God says. I get that all the time. People sit in here and I stand up here and I got a good view of everybody in here and I see heads nod. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking at somebody across my desk, and they're going, oh, whoa, what was me? I am undone. And I go, I church it up. I'm not, in my mind, and if you're there, I'm going to know this. In my mind, I'm going, didn't you listen? I watched you nod your head. Don't listen. Do. That's us. We need to do that. We cause a lot of our own problems by our own sin. The other category is dealing with people in this world. It doesn't matter how close they are to you. You have limited control over people. People that aren't related to you, you have a lot less control. You may have no control over them whatsoever. They are a source of suffering, particularly those who are close to us. Like I said, we live in a sin-cursed, fallen world, and we live amongst sin-cursed and fallen goofballs. All right? And they do goofy stuff. They do horrible stuff. And it affects us, and it affects our families, but we have no control over it. We need to deal with it properly. And then there's the third category, and that's situational. That's the cancer. That's the losing your job. That's the getting old part. Just the stuff that happens in this world. All three readings deal with these things today. The first reading deals with two of them. That Exodus reading from Exodus chapter 17. The people of Israel, gotta love them. God takes them out of Egypt. They don't have to fight the Egyptians. There's no battles. There's no nothing. They just leave. They just leave, and God says through Moses, hey, take their stuff too. Don't just leave, take their stuff. And the Egyptians, yeah, here, take our stuff. Just go. We're tired of dealing with the plague stuff. Just get out of here. And they leave, and all of a sudden the Egyptians are like, what did we just do? Cheap labor. Darn. Take after them. They're chasing them. God parts the Red Sea. The people go through on dry land. God smashes the Egyptians with the sea. They're all gone. The people are free. Yay. Then he's like, no, that's not enough. You've seen all this good stuff. Guess what? During the day, you're going to look up in front of you, and to lead you around, I'm going to be a pillar of cloud in front of you. And at night, a pillar of fire. They see God. Theophany. They see him. And he directs them around. And then all of a sudden, things aren't working out in their timing. I'm thirsty. Don't have any water. You can go back into Egypt. You know, they beat us and made us make bricks out of straw, and then they didn't even give us straw to make bricks. Oh, woe is us. You know, is the Lord with us or not? Duh. You know, he's been there with them the whole time. They've seen, really, objectively, that he's there. It's not belief. They actually get to see it, and they're still going to grouse. Those are people who do not deal with their situational sufferings properly, and they paid for it. They all died in the desert except for a couple of them. Moses is confronted with that other sufferings, goofballs, that he has to deal with day in and day out. Well, he'll deal with it, right? No, he didn't. God told him, give them some water, go over to the rock, hit it with the stick, and they're going to have water. It's not enough for Moses. I'll show them. I'm going to beat the rock with the stick 3 times. Moses, you didn't do what I said. And because of that, you're not entering the promised land. You're going to die on this side just like they are. That's not fair. Moses didn't deal with the sufferings properly. He didn't do what God said. The woman at the well, she's dealing with those sufferings that I say you make yourself. Our Lord. Gotta feel kind of bad when the Lord tells you to do something and all of a sudden you realize, yeah, I'll give you the living water. Go get your husband. I don't have one. Nope, you don't. Nor did you with the other 5 guys you lived with. She's confronted with her sin. She's confronted with her sin and she realizes that this is the Messiah and he shares that, you know, you come here to get water out of the well when you're thirsty. I'll give you the springs of living water. That, no matter what the category of the suffering is, that's the message for the day. We can try to use the illustration of thirst. You don't need to drink a whole lot of water if you stay in your air-conditioned house or office all day. Yeah, you might drink water once or twice, and then it's not even any big deal. You pass the water fountain, oh, I'm going to get a little drink. You don't even think about it. Go stand out in the middle of I-4 for 8 or 10 hours and do construction work or direct traffic or something like that and see how much you want water. See how important water becomes to you. When things get hot, so to speak, you want water a whole lot more. The sufferings are the droughts in our lives. You can crawl into all kind of wells that give you a little bit. They're not going to quench the thirst. You can crawl into substance abuse, and yeah, you'll feel better for a little while. Then you got another problem that you got to deal with, plus the one you were trying to escape. Or you can try to deal with it with yourself, and I'm just overwhelmed, I can't do it. That's right, you can't deal with it. You need him to deal with it. You can crawl up in the fetal position and cry your eyes out all the time, and guess what? Problem's not going away. That's the little drinks of water. It's not enough. We need the springs of living water. That's Jesus Christ. That's how the formula comes to the fore. Because when we are patient in our sufferings, they may or may not go away. that if you are patient with those sufferings, you will be led to a point where you realize, you know what? I'm persevering through this. That's the building of character. When the problem's still there, it is even any better. And it could be getting worse. But guess what? I'm not going to fold. That's because we go to our Lord Jesus Christ, who's the springs of living water. That's why when you get the sufferings going on, you just don't go to Mass on Sunday. You go to some extra Masses throughout the week. Veil yourself more and more of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's when you go to the confessional more often, because when you go through sufferings, you are tempted in that category to try to be self-reliant, to try to deal with things on your own, and you need to go to the confessional, and you need to confess those temptations and giving into those temptations. That is where the water will come to you, and you will get your thirst quenched, at least for a time. And that water never goes away. You can come into Mass as many times as you want. You can go to the confessional as many times as you want. That's what he means by the living water. It never goes away. This whole deal with, oh, we can't talk about the sufferings with them because they don't like to hear about stuff like that. Nobody likes to suffer. But you're going to. Nobody likes it. And, you know, you look at it this way. Why shouldn't you? Seriously, why shouldn't you suffer? If God Almighty himself, the second person of the Trinity, had to endure what he did, and our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Sorrows, had to endure the things she did, why shouldn't you? He was God, she was immaculate. Who are you? Why ought you be spared? You shouldn't be spared because that's how you grow in your faith. That's how your faith is confirmed to you. That's how you relate to our Lord Jesus Christ and our Blessed Mother, the Lady of Sorrows. They endured these things. Why ought we not? We need to rejoice in our sufferings. Not in the sufferings themselves, but rejoice in what happens when we deal with them properly. Because they will foster within us patience, perseverance, and hope. And when we have those three things, that confirms our faith. In the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Ghost.